Everyone else would turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, our text will be from verses 15 to 23. When you find your place, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 7, beginning of verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that we would hear a word from you, that you would speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit that you have granted us. Father, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. I pray that you would not only allow us to hear, but give us the ability to apply what we learned today. That in all things you would be glorified. That all that's said and done today be honoring to you, Father. In the name of Christ, be magnified. Father, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, Amen. Please be seated. My cousin and I, after work the other day, had went to the bookstore, and he was looking for a particular book in the Christian section. We went to Barnes & Noble, and it was just amazing to me. They had this long, big shelf that said Christian Living on it, and a number of different books on there, just hundreds of books. And you begin to look at these books, and you start seeing names like Joel Osteen, all of his books. You see names like Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, Kenneth Copeland, all of these names of these ones that are viewed as the spokesmen or spokespersons for Christianity. Very little of what was contained in there was actually good. Names like John MacArthur were in there a little bit, a few others. But the majority of what you've seen was teachers like Osteen, Meyer, and Jakes and others. When people walk in there and they see these books, they automatically think that these are representatives of Orthodox Christianity. What if a person was to come in seeking information on what Christianity is all about? These are the books that they're going to see. These are the authors. These are the teachers. There are so many aberrant views of Christianity out there, and much of those views dominate bookstores. Very little really is good and authentic and true to Orthodox Christianity. But these teachers are very popular. Remember the last time I went out to California and I sat next to a lady who was just so giddy about being able to go to Joel Osteen's church down in Texas. And you don't want to start an argument on a plane. You got 5 hours with them, So it's just, but these are the faces of Christianity. But what we have to understand is this. These persons and many others do not represent Orthodox Christianity. They do not represent biblical Christianity. And how do we know that? How do we identify them as such? Well, the Lord teaches us that in our passage this morning. Just as He was teaching the people that were gathered before Him how to identify the wolves in sheep's clothing, so too this is applying to us, how we can recognize the false teachers from those that are genuine and good. Because we must know that. Because false teachers are dangerous to the body of Christ. They are dangerous to any new Christian especially. They are dangerous to those that profess to know Christ, and they profess to know Christ because of teachers like this. Prosperity teachers. With aberrant teachings. So today we're going to look at how to discern false teachers. Not only how to discern false teachers, but also looking at the judgment that will befall false teachers. They are without question dangerous, and Jesus makes that point very clear to us. Last week we had discussed in verses 13 and 14, Jesus is bringing His sermon to a conclusion. So much that our Lord has taught us in these chapters 5, 6, and 7, His Sermon on the Mount, and He's bringing this to a conclusion. Last week we discussed Jesus, His command to the people, as they have heard everything that He said, they understand that they are sinners, and it's very evident as you look through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. It exposes us as well. We can't keep the law. It's our heart that's the problem. It's not our outward things that we do. All of what Jesus has said, exposing them as sinners. And then last week we discussed what Jesus said to them. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many that go in it. This is the way of religion. This is what we talked about last week. There's plenty of room on the Broadway. You can bring all your baggage, all your sin, whatever you want. You can bring it on the Broadway, and they invite any who would like to come. And along that road, along the road that leads to destruction, you have those who are the prophets of the Broadway, who are prophets of Satan, that seek to lure more people in. And that's what Jesus tells us. In verse 15, our Lord says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You think about a number of the stories in the scripture of wolves and attacking sheep, and even Jesus uses that in John chapter 10, that whole scenario. These wolves would roam the countryside seeking the sheep that would wander from the flock. They were very dangerous. Jesus says, you beware of the false prophets, because they too are ravenous wolves. They will devour. And they come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep. They look like they're a believer. They look like they're a genuine teacher of the gospel. They talk the talk. Inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. He says, beware, watch diligently. They present a great danger to the flock, a great danger to the church of Christ. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like, they act like, they talk like genuine teachers of the gospel. But all that they do is cause great harm to the people of God, if the people of God don't know any better. And then they lead others astray down the road to destruction. Now, it could very well be that our Lord has in mind here, even some of the religious leaders in that day, you know, we talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and even our Lord will say to them in Matthew chapter 23, in verse 15, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he has become one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Now granted, the religious leaders in the days of Jesus were doing that, making people twice a child of hell as they themselves are. But what our Lord is telling us here, to beware of the false prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, it moves beyond just the religious leaders of Israel. These are ones that will actually claim the name of Christ. These are ones that will say that they know Him, that they serve Him, that they speak on His behalf. If Jesus warned of such men, He called them false Christ. John calls them false teachers, false prophets, animals. Paul calls them false circumcision. A number of different titles that are given to these ones. These are those who claim the name of Christ, but they themselves do not really know Him. They are prophets and spokespersons of the Broadway. They themselves don't know Christ, and they themselves cannot lead anyone else to know Christ. And that's a big problem that we have today. Especially, I have a friend who I had lunch with at one time, and I was discussing these things with him. And he seems to be fairly solid on a lot of things. But when it comes to these teachers that we see in our day, the prosperity gospel teachers, the ones that were mentioned earlier, he doesn't see any problem with reading their books, gathering what he can from them, kind of taking in the meat, spitting out the bones kind of scenario. And many other Christians are like that too. They don't mind to read these teachers and see what good that they can get out of whatever it is that they're teaching. But you have to understand something, that if you have someone who themselves, it's evident that they do not know Christ, what good can you get from them? They obviously do not understand the very nature of God. They don't understand the atonement. They don't understand the person of Christ. What good can you get from them? Just as a few examples, Benny Hinn thinks he's a little Messiah. He thinks that there are 9 members in the Trinity, or within the Godhead, I should say. You take others like Joyce Meyer, thinks she don't sin anymore. She thinks that Christ was the first born-again man after His resurrection. He was the first born-again man. Doesn't understand the nature of the atonement, that Christ, after He died, He literally went to hell and the demons were trampling on Him and laughing over Him. I don't know what book she's reading, but we don't get that from the Scripture. It was either Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin. One of them had said that they were praying one day and that they received this revelation, and he said to himself, "You can't be serious. No, this can't be. You can't be serious." And then he discloses what that revelation was. The revelation that he supposedly got was that since Christ was a born-again man who defeated Satan, that he himself, being a born-again man, could have done the same. This is the teaching that you have much in these prosperity gospel teachers. You have Osteen. And what's Osteen's big thing? Prosperity. Health. Wealth. God doesn't want you to live paycheck to paycheck. That's not living in victory. But they say all these things about Christ, and they say all these things about having a relationship with Christ. But they themselves don't know what it is to have a relationship with Christ, and they can't tell anyone else how to have a relationship with Him. You know, what do you ever hear them say, in order to have a relationship with Christ, He says, repent and believe. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. That's the gospel. That's the message that Christ gave, but that's the message that you do not hear from those that are in the prosperity camp. Many think that they're saved. But unless you repent and commit your way to Christ, you do not have salvation. Repentance is vital. You can't have the forgiveness of sins without repentance. If you don't have the forgiveness of sins, you don't have salvation. These people are dangerous. They devour. They manipulate. They're only out for themselves. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So Jesus says, beware of them. If there are many that go down the broad way, there's going to be many prophets along the way that are trying to lure people in even more so. So beware of them. Know them. Well, how can we tell? How can we tell who's a false teacher from a genuine one? Well, Jesus tells us. You will know them by their fruits, by their works, by their speech. You're going to know them. He makes the point very plain. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? You don't get grapes from thorn bushes, you get grapes off the vine, right? You don't get figs from thistles, you get figs from a fig tree. The fruit that bears from the tree is consistent with the tree itself. That's the whole point. The fruit is consistent with the nature of the tree and consistent with the health or the lack of the tree. You don't get apples from, you know, a pear tree, do you? I mean, that's basically what he's saying. I mean, how ridiculous. You know it. You see it. Apples come from an apple tree. Pears come from a pear tree and so forth. You're going to know them by their fruits. So every good tree that bears good fruit, so every good tree bears good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit. He's talking about a sick tree, a rotten tree. It can only bear rotten fruit. If you have a good, healthy tree, it's going to bear good fruit. And that's what he's saying. Look at what they're saying. Look at how they're living. If their message is not consistent with how they're living, or vice versa, or their message and the way that they're living are not consistent with the Scriptures, they're a rotten tree. They're only bearing rotten fruit. And so you tell in this way. The good tree bears good fruit. The bad bears bad fruit. A good tree, a healthy, thriving tree, cannot produce rotten fruit. Nor can a bad tree or a rotten tree, a sickly tree, produce good fruit. It's a very simple analogy he's using. This is how you tell. Look, examine. And he goes on to say, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. If it's a rotten tree, the only thing it's good for is just to be thrown on the fire. Firewood. That's all it's good for. So why give it any attention? Why try to seek any fruit from it if it's only good to be tossed into a fire? And that's the point that we have to look at today. What good does it do to read false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing? What spiritual good does it do? Nothing. If they don't understand the very concept of who God is, then everything else that flows from that is going to be rotten. It's going to be aberrant. And you see that with the prosperity teachers especially, that you can think with your mind and you can speak the word and you can manifest whatever it is that you want. That's not true to what God says. Now Jesus, again, he warned of such men. In Matthew 24, he says many false Christs will come about. They will arise up. Many false Christs. Paul warned of these men as well in Acts chapter 20. Look at what Paul says. Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. He says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. This is what the ravenous wolves do. They speak perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. And again, they look like sheep. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, we'll jump in verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, "But what I am doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." He's speaking of those that are trying to infiltrate the Corinthian church, claiming themselves to be apostles, claiming that Paul is inferior to them. And so Paul writes, addressing this matter, they are apostles of Satan. They present themselves as an angel of light, a messenger of light, just as Satan does. If Satan can do it, then his ministers can too. But what does Paul say? Acts 20, they're savage wolves. What does Jesus say? They're ravenous wolves. Peter warns of such men. In 2 Peter, now this gives us a little bit more insight here into the motivation of these ones. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words, and their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." Look at verse 15. "Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." This gives us some insight in what motivates these false teachers. They go the way of Balaam. Now, if we go back and we look at what Balaam did, Balaam was hired technically by the Moabite king in order to curse Israel. And he went there to do so for money. But every time he would open his mouth, the Lord would put blessing in his mouth instead. But they, the false teachers, they go the way of Balaam. They exploit you, is what Peter just says. Many will follow their sensuality. In Jude, verse 11 to 13, very same thing. "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feast, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars from whom the black darkness has been reserved forever." They have gone the way of Cain. What was Cain's sin initially? He was jealous of his brother. God regarded his brother and not him. Balaam, again, being hired by the Moabite king to curse Israel. Korah led a rebellion against Moses in the wilderness and perished. This is the characteristics of these type people. What are most of all the gospel or prosperity gospel teachers out for? What are most any false teacher out for is themselves, wealth, fame, prestige. All the things that we see in the religious leaders too. At this time in Israel, they love wealth. That's what all false teachers desire. And being in that camp, that charismatic camp, they do well. They live lavish lifestyles. They have their own jets. You know, just to give you some examples, one, I think it was Creflo Dollar, And yes, that's his real name. Creflo Dollar. Has two Rolls Royces. $500,000 apiece. But it was a gift from the church, though. Hint, hint. Yeah. You can get me a Chevette if you want. Yeah. Yeah. But the Apostle John, he describes these ones in Revelation 13. When you have the beast from the earth. Listen to his description. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. Describing this beast from the earth. He has two horns like a lamb. He speaks as a dragon. He leads people astray to worship a false idol. This is the characteristics of false teachers, of false prophets, of false Christ, of wolves, of animals. All the descriptions that the Scripture gives of these ones, these certain ones. They only cause harm. But you can know them by what they teach. And sometimes by what they don't say. You know, when you have false teachers that present themselves as angels of light, they don't come just being antagonistic against Orthodox Christianity or talking about how much they're against the Lord and such, or they're not of a different religion. They come to you as a genuine teacher and secretly introduce things. But also, you can know them by what they don't say. At what point, again, just as we were discussing, when you have these teachers, and not just in the prosperity gospel, but you have other aberrant views out there as well. Remember the one teacher who comes under the umbrella of Christianity, who's a Unitarian Universalist, it came out that he was a Unitarian Universalist, which was Rob Bell. But when you go, guess where his books are? In the Christian section. But what they don't say is just as important. How do you have a relationship with Christ? Well, just pray to Him and He'll give you this and He'll give you that. That's not how you have a relationship with Christ. How do you come into the favor of the Father? It's by claiming Christ's name? Saying good things about Him? No. How do you have a relationship with the Father? When you repent and you believe, committing your way to Christ. When you trust in nothing else but the work that Christ accomplished on the cross, you commit your way to Him, believing in His resurrection, trusting in that alone for your salvation. That is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. Repenting and believing. Those things are absent from many of the teachers. And so what they don't say is just as important. You can recognize them. But see, here's the thing. In order to recognize the false teachers, you've got to know what genuine Orthodox Christianity really is. And that's why it is so vital that you know the Scripture. That you can know and see, this isn't right. This isn't right. You know, I had I don't know if I'd call him a friend, probably a frenemy. We're kind of enemies and friends at the same time, perhaps. But he took exception with some of the things that I had said or statements I had made on my Facebook. And because I was pointing out certain wolves in sheep's clothing. And his response to me was, well, how does any of this help? How does identifying these, or how does calling these out, how does it bring unity to the body of Christ? And that's the mentality of a lot. If you call out certain ones or you identify false teachers, well, you're just causing division in the body of Christ. But what they don't understand is that these over here are not in the body of Christ. And so to pay attention to them does no spiritual good for you. It leads your mind to something other than what God said in His Word. That's why you, as those in the body of Christ, if indeed you are, must be in the Scripture to know, and that you would be able to discern when false teachings come up. Why would we give them attention anyway? Look at their demise. Let's read that. In verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Jesus says, just because they claim my name does not mean anything. The ones that are going to enter are those who do the will of my Father. Now, what is it that Jesus says is the will of my Father? If you look in John chapter 6, verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise Him up on the last day. That is the will of the Father, that we do the works of God, and the work of God is to believe in Christ. Commit our way to Christ. For the teacher or the preacher, the one who speaks on behalf of the Lord, who expounds the Scripture, whatever you want to call it, he himself must be faithful to the text. Not trying to manipulate anyone, not trying to be out for himself, not trying to gain attention for himself or make this extravagant lifestyle, but he is to expound the Scripture, to be faithful in doing so. This is the will of God. Anything other than that is not what men are called to do, not what preachers and teachers are called to do. So Jesus says, this is Jesus speaking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. It doesn't matter if you're sincere or not. You can be sincere and sincerely wrong. This is one of the other problems with prosperity teachers. They will not identify those that are wrong, even though they're sincere. You can look this up, and by all means, please do. You can look up on YouTube, Joel Osteen on Larry King Live. He has asked the question. We have had ministers on here that have said, you either believe in Christ or you don't. And if you don't, you're going to hell. What do you say? And his answer is, I don't know. He says, well, what about Muslims? What about Jews? He's like, I'll just let God be the judge of that. He says, but you believe your way? And he's like, yeah, I believe my way, and I think my way is right. He says, well, if you believe your way and you believe your way is right, then they're wrong, right? Well, I'll just let God be the judge. I don't know. And this is, he said that at least four times. I don't know. What about the Hindus? King asked him, are they wrong? And he's like, well, I don't think that they're wrong. I spent a lot of time over in India or whatever with my father, and I've seen their religion. I've seen that they love God. I've seen their sincerity. And it's like, what does the Scripture say? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me. What does the disciple say in Acts 4? There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, that of Jesus Christ. And you have this man who has probably the largest church in America, at least close to it, who can't just say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And not only that, but just as a little footnote here, when you start looking at some of these other religions, and even claiming that Mormons were Christian brothers as well, because you have some that say that Jesus is their Savior, and so I say that Jesus is my Savior, so that must mean that, you know, we have a common ground here. Can't even identify the differences between a Christian and a Mormon. But when you look at all these other religions, whom these prosperity gospel teachers won't say anything about, and much because what they believe is similar, you have like the Hindus, Buddhists, you have the New Age people, who have a common ground in that much of what they believe is similar concerning the law of karma and concerning God not being a personal being, but an impersonal force in the universe. And that's why they can speak and manipulate. They can speak the word and things happen. That is their concept of God. And so they're not going to look and say other people are wrong. You know, one thing that you need to think of, and sometimes it's just easier just to use your reason and your logic. How can an impersonal force produce personal beings? You're a personal being. You have a mind. You have a will. You exert your will. How can an impersonal force produce personal beings? Makes no sense. But yet with people like Osteen and those guys, well, I've seen their love and their sincerity. It doesn't matter what their concept of God is. It doesn't matter that they reject Christ. What matters is that they're sincere. Jesus is saying it doesn't matter if you're sincere. It only matters if you're doing the will of the Father, which is beholding the Son and believe in Him. He goes on, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Listen to these words. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is the sobering reality. Not only for false teachers, but it is also for those who reject Christ altogether. On the day that you stand before the Lord and you say, well, Lord, I went to church. I hung out with Christians. What will He look at you and say, I never knew you? You know, He says something very similar in Matthew chapter 25. This is speaking of the judgment of all the nations. When our Lord comes in His glory and He separates the nations to the right and to the left, the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Here's what He says to those on His left. Verse 41. Then He will also say to those on His left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Look at verse 46 there. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is what's going to happen to the false teachers. This is what's going to happen to those who reject Christ. They will go away into eternal punishment. And again, hearing the words, I never knew you. But here's the good news. This is what happens to those who reject Christ. This is what happens to those who are false teachers. But for those who are the faithful, who do behold the Son, those that commit their way to Him, this is what is said of them in the same chapter, Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Back in the earlier part of Matthew 25, in the parable of the talents, this is repeated here as well. What the master says to those who are faithful. Verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." There is a great difference of what the sheep receive as to the goats. What those who bear good fruit receive and those who bear bad. But those on the narrow road receive, those on the broad road receive. "I never knew you. Depart from me. These over here, well done. You were faithful in few things. I will make you faithful over many things. Enter into the joy of your Father." You see much in this, the righteous character of God. God doesn't tolerate sin. God will not allow any sin into His presence. But only through Christ, only through Christ can you hear these words, "Well done." So we know how to identify the false teachers. We understand the demise of the false teachers, but we also see the blessedness of those who commit their way to Christ. And so I ask you this morning, have you done the will of the Father in beholding the Son and believing in Him for your eternal life? Have you committed your way to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still on the broad way? Do you live your life however you desire and give no thought to Christ and what He has for your life? Because you can profess to know Him, but professions of faith don't mean anything. You are known by your fruit, not by your profession. So I say this morning, if you have not committed your way to the Lord Jesus, if you have not repented, if you have not repented and believed in Him, believed in His resurrection, believed in the work that He accomplished, and friend, if you haven't done that, you are still in your sins. So I ask you this morning, commit your way to Christ. Cry out to the Lord for mercy. And the Scripture tells us that He does not despise a broken and a contrite heart. That if we cry out to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this portion of Scripture. Thank You, Father, that You indeed have given us understanding of how we can identify those that would only harm us spiritually, that seek to devour Your people. Father, I pray for all of us here that You would give us wisdom. Father, give us this wisdom that only You can give, that we can identify those, that we don't entertain those. We don't seek after anything that they say or anything that they do. That we warn others of them. That we expose the darkness. That we will be a beacon of light in a dark world. Beckoning people to come to the narrow way. Father, I thank You for all that You have done for us in Christ. Thank You that through Him we can know You. Through His sacrifice we can have our sins washed away. Through His righteousness we can be declared just in Your sight. Father, thank You for all that You have granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. To You be the praise, honor, and glory in all things. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and all of God's children said, Amen.